So yeah, I like Swiss cake rolls. The other one I thought about that I remember is, did any of you in a haste to try to get some fruit, or your parents trying to make you eat fruit, eat those little like Dole fruit cups where they're like peaches and pears and those little like sweetened cherries were all packed in the little disposable cup. Cherries, yeah, all this stuff. I had them in my lunchbox a lot. I remember those. I didn't love them, but I remember eating those. And I was thinking about those because we're talking about fruit today. There were fruit in there. Now, I don't know how real that fruit was in those things. But we are going to talk about fruit because fruit is the end result of something being planted, right? We have seed that grows into a bush or a tree or something, and then it produces fruit. But to get to that fruit, we have to plant the seed. But the seed, we talked about seed last week, seed gets planted in soil. And I feel like we don't always think about soil, right? We started a garden this year. We're doing our best. We usually kill plants. But we're trying a garden. Jeremiah wanted to grow. And I remember we bought this soil from the store in a bag, and it's like this nutrient-enriched soil and got all this good stuff in it to help our vegetables hopefully grow. We got some little peppers and little tomatoes coming. Some rain would help, but, you know, it's where we are. But the soil is so important. If the soil isn't good, isn't rich, or isn't has any depth to it, it won't produce fruit. That seed won't grow into a plant and then produce fruit. And that's what we're going to get at today. We're going to look at the parable of the sower. To be honest, I don't think that's a good name for this parable, so I'm going to change it to the parable of the four soils, because that's really more what it's about. Honestly, it's more about that. In your Bibles, it'll say the parable of the sower. It says it here. I hope I don't get in trouble one day with Jesus for this, but I'm going to do it. So it's the four soils, because Jesus is going to talk about when seed gets scattered in four different types of soils, what happens in those soils and how what happens to the seed. So I want you to think about this today, soil being the focus. If you only focus on the fruit, you'll forget about the soil. If you only focus on the fruit, which what comes, forget about the soil. The idea is the fruit is what will come from our lives as followers of Jesus. The fruit will come, and that's important that it matters, but God takes care of that fruit. Right, he brings it out when it's his time. But the soil is our hearts, and that matters so much more. It's what condition are our hearts in? Where is our spiritual life at? And our hearts need to be in the right place so that God can bring out some amazing fruit and do his thing. So we're going to look at this parable and take a look at the four different types of soil as we go and see what we can do if we're in a soil that isn't great or isn't good and rich. How can we maybe get to that point? So let's look at that today. We're going to start with Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 10. It's in your Bibles on the table. It'll be right up here behind me. Follow along. Tablet, phone is also great. I will be in the NIV translation. We'll do Luke 8, 4 through 10 to start. It says, "While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, 'Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear.' His disciples asked what this parable meant. He said, 'The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand.'" All right, we'll stop there for now. So it says this farmer goes out and sows or scatters his seed. A number of sources say in Jesus' day, you dropped the seed and then it got plowed up. Right, so you didn't plow up and freshen the soil and then scatter the seed. It was the other way. So the seed comes down and we plow it up. That's going to be important for us today as we talk about this. So then Jesus launches into four types of soil. The first one, there's this hard path or a hard surface. Basically, this would be a place that really there isn't soil there. It kind of just hits. It's got nothing to grow into. It doesn't have a chance to take root or get into the ground. So a bird can come and just snatch it away. So it's like it's here and then it's gone right away. Then he goes into the seed scattered among the rocks, little rocks kind of all amongst the soil. This would be fairly common landscape in Jesus' time and place. But basically, there was some soil, but it didn't have a lot of depth. So it couldn't grow strong roots. So it would come up, but then it would wither because there was nothing holding it there. If something big came or a wind came, it could just knock it right out because there was no depth, no real root. Okay, then we have the third one. This is among thorns. So the plant's able to start to grow. It's starting off in good shape. but there's thorns that just grow up all around it and eventually surround it, kind of overtake this good, healthy plant, and in essence, choke it out, take it away from where it's trying to go. And then fourth, we have the really good soil, the good stuff. This would hold the moisture, allow strong roots, let the plant grow tall and strong, and it will produce the intended fruit even more than what was expected. All right, so Jesus tells all this. And the disciples, his followers, are the ones that say, Jesus, what does this mean? And he kind of gives a really short reason as to why he speaks in parables throughout his teaching. Now, parables, they're like little stories. We've heard a number of them. We have more to go. They're like little stories, and they can kind of do two things, as I've heard. They can reveal truth. They can also conceal the truth. Now, they'll reveal the truth and let you know what Jesus is getting at if you seek to understand, if you want to dive in and see what is behind this. That's what his disciples are doing. They're saying, okay, what is this about, Jesus? Tell me about this. But it can conceal the truth if you just hear these stories, and they're just like little entertainment. They're little anecdotes. They're fun. You hear it, and you just let it go. And he's got other people like that, all right? And he says, you know, there's those that will see but not see, hear but not understand, right? That's kind of what's going on with some of these people. They'll see it or they'll hear the parable and just be like, it's nothing. And this is a quote from Isaiah 6. It was prophesied that this was going to happen. Some would see it, hear it, and not even seek to understand. But he says, everyone with ears, hear this. He wants us to understand. He's saying, take this in. And why? Because Jesus is experiencing these four types of soils in his ministry already. He is giving the word of God. That's our seed, right? It's the word of God. He's got villagers that will come to the synagogues and listen but do absolutely nothing with what he teaches. That's like the path. It's here, it's gone, in one ear, out the other, or they reject it, it's done. He's spending time with the Pharisees. They're kind of like the rocks, right? He teaches, they kind of take it in, but then it just seems so out there, so different, or counter to the law that they love so much that they're like, uh-uh, it's too much, there's adversity with this, not doing it. So we have those. He's got the thorns, people that he encounters that are so consumed with wealth and status. Again, we've talked about in Jesus' day, wealth, status meant so much. So they were consumed with all these other things that maybe following Jesus would get choked out with them. But then he's also got people in the good soil, the disciples, that are seeking to understand. Those people that are turning from ways they shouldn't. There's an awesome story in John chapter 4 of the Samaritan woman at the well who Jesus starts talking to. And she's like, I need this living water you speak of. And he says, you've got to go and sin no more. So this is that good soil where people are trying to take the roots of Jesus and grow. So all of this is happening. So Jesus is like, this is going to happen in your lives. We need to care for the soil. He's concerned about the soil. He knows the fruit's going to come. He's concerned about this soil. So he's like imploring them, please listen, hear this, take it to heart, listen. Earlier this week on Wednesday, I was playing golf with my brother and a couple other guys, and we're in the carts and we're having a nice time. It was really nice out on the first part of the course. It was sunny, it was warm, it was great. As we get to the final few holes, we knew there was some rain coming. So on the 17th hole, it starts to rain. It starts to rain really hard. We're thinking, oh boy, here it comes. But we'll try to finish it. You know, we'll get through this. It'll be fine. No joke, I was hitting my tee shot on 18, and the club just came flying out of my hand. It was so wet, all this stuff. But in the cart, they have tablets attached to the cart that kind of show you how to get from hole to hole and how far you are from the hole. And we're driving in the cart on the final hole, and as we start to go up, all of a sudden there's this big alert on the screen. And Kyle, you can go to the next slide here. It kind of looks like this. There's one of these. We're in the cart, and it's got this kind of thunderbolt message on it. And it's saying, lightning in the area, return carts to clubhouse. And it's like loud, and it's flaring at us. We're like, whoa, like something's bad. It's imploring us. Listen to this. You see the screen? You hear what's going on. There's lightning in the area. Do what it says. Go return the cart. That's what Jesus wants us to do here. He's like, listen to this and take it in. And we can hear Jesus and understand it through his explanation of the parable and evaluating it. So that's what he's going to get to next. We're going to kind of take it verse by verse here and hear what he has to say about the parable. So Luke 8, verse 11, really quickly says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Pretty simple. He's talking about seed being scattered. That's the word of God. That's us reading our Bibles. That's teaching and preaching we hear, anything like that. It's been scattered, and it's going to continue to be scattered. What we want to do is, what kind of soil are we in? What kind of soil do we see in our lives for that seed to be sowed in? And that's where we're going to go. So let's look at verse 12. It says, "Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved." So these are the ones, they don't pay any attention to it. They hear it, and it's just gone, right? They accept it, and then they turn away. I was trying to think about, like, this outright rejection, and I thought about my son Jeremiah when he was probably 6 months old, and we started feeding him solid foods. Any of you with kids, Kyle, you can put up this slide here. We fed him asparagus one time, and it was this pureed, terrible-looking asparagus. And he has this face, which you can't totally tell, is it is all over his face and his chin and his cheeks. It got in his mouth, and it just right back out. Outright rejection is there. I do not want asparagus. He still doesn't like asparagus to this day. But it's that kind of thing of tasted it. Nope, not having it. And I think about this one with God. People that just maybe they hear about God, but they have no interest. And they just kind of push it right back. I knew people throughout my life, especially in college, I had some roommates that were just big, you can't prove God. So I don't want it. I want anything to do with it. The science, the facts, it doesn't make sense. So I don't want anything to do with it. And they're right. We can't totally prove it because it's faith, not fact. So they wanted nothing to do with it. And then there's other people that I'm sure many of us have come across that they're like, I don't want to take in this whole thing and God and believe in all this because I don't really want to be a Christian. I don't know if I want to be a follower of this because maybe it means changing my life in a way I don't want to. Or they see maybe Christians acting in a way that they don't like. They're like, if that's what God's about, nope, I'm out. I don't want anything to do with that. And unfortunately, this happens because we talk about this, we represent God. And when we don't represent God well or honestly, it can be a turnoff for people that don't know him. So what do? We want to represent Jesus well. Because most of us in this room, at least, are willing to kind of take in what God has to say. Hopefully that's why you're here. You're willing to at least hear this. But we will have people in our lives that are like this path. So what we don't want to do is push them away. Maybe they've rejected it or pushed it away or want nothing to do with it. But don't ostracize them. Bring them in. You can kind of help scatter this seed just by the way you live. You don't have to say anything. And this has been a conviction of mine for a while, is that we can give seed not with our words, but with our lives, right? Because here's what I think can happen, is people can hear Christians talk about faith and love and grace and kindness and peace, but then turn around and treat Christians and non-Christians alike kind of like crap. And they're like, this just doesn't make sense. It doesn't jive. It doesn't go with what you're saying. And I get it. So let's flip that. Let's live out what we believe Jesus to be. And so those that are on that harder path that maybe are pushing it away, maybe they'll be a little bit more receptive. So that's that first part, that path, that kind of hard rejection type of piece. All right? Verse 13, this is the rocks. He'll explain the rocks. So those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. So this is taking in the word, taking in the seed, but don't have any real roots. So there's not a lot of depth to it. Basically, when adversity comes, it kind of gets swept away. I thought about this similar to like a New Year's resolution type of crowd. All right. How many of you make New Year's resolutions? No, only a couple? Yeah. Here's some of the stats I found is that by the end of January, 43% of people have given up on those New Year's resolutions, usually because they're hard. I worked at a coffee shop for a long time, and the first 3 weeks of January, we cut our bakery order in half. We'd only order half because so many people were like, I'm giving up sweets, I'm not going to spend the money on it, and we'd increase it again by the end of January and February, and we were right back up with the sales. It worked like clock every year. I did it for 7 years. We did it every year, and it worked because it would start, and then it would get hard. Why? It's hard. I want to give up my scone every morning or this, and it's just convenient. It's easy. So they fall away, and this is kind of what is happening here with the rocks. Maybe we have this mountaintop experience or this great revelation with God or this great time with God, and it's awesome. But then when things start to dip in our lives, things get tough, we get hit with something, we fall away, we go somewhere else, right? Things don't get fixed right away by God. So what we do is we get swept back into a quick fix, some sort of instant gratification, something that's going to make us just feel better in the moment, but it's not God. We don't have that root, that depth to be willing to wait on God, to have the patience for God. And this can happen with anything. We can run to substance, to food, to pleasure, to isolation. Maybe we'll start comparing ourselves to other people. But rather than waiting on God and relying on him, we kind of separate from him and run back to something else. So in any case, we don't have the deep roots that allow us to weather a storm. We get just swept away. What we want is the strength and the patience to withstand. All right? So that's kind of the rocky soil. Third one, the thorns, verse 14. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. So the plant starts to grow. It's got some good roots, growing seed, everything seems good, but then these thorns come out, and they grow faster, and they kind of just overtake it, and they can be a little sneaky, and they choke it out, right? We start to grow in our relationship with God, but so many other things competing for our attention take us away from God. Think about, like, losing focus on something you've tried to do. If you've ever tried to learn a new skill or grow in some type of art form or anything like that. I play guitar. I've always wanted to get better, right? So I think, okay, I'm going to commit myself to playing this type of guitar or this style. Well, it takes time. It takes effort. It takes focus. And I'll get started. And then later, everything else just gets in the way. It's not that I want to give up on it, but life and work and everything else takes my time, my energy, and my focus away from that. This is kind of what I think can happen with God. It's easy to get caught up in the everyday scenario of life. And that can actually kind of cut off our relationship with God if we're not careful. There are so many things that compete for our attention today. Our concerns with money, with food, with kids, with work. What we're going to do to just enjoy life. TV shows we're going to watch, games we're going to play, trips we're going to take, parties we're going to go to or not go to. Our own health. Workouts, diets, preparing food, all this stuff is all pretty good in and of itself. And we might not think of them as thorns, but if we're not careful, they do have the capability to choke out our growth in our relationship with God if we let them kind of take over. They can be sneaky. I'll be honest, one of those we think about work that's sneaky and tough for me is even preparing these sermons can do this to me because I'm so focused on the work side. I'll be reading my Bible in the morning, doing my own devotional time, and I'll go to this mode of, how would I teach that? How would I illustrate it? How would I do it here in front of all of you? And that's the work mode, not the growth part. So it's sneaky and it's tough, and we just have to be aware of it, all right? So we have this path, that kind of rejection. We have the rocky soil where there's not enough depth maybe to it, and it can get easily blown away. And then we have the thorns where it can choke out our growth. And what we want to do is understand that these can happen at any point in our lives. We can feel like we're in these different modes. What we want to do is get to the good soil, which is verse 15. The good soil, it says, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a good crop. So this is fertile soil. It can grow the good stuff. It's strong. It's healthy. It's mature. It can bring up a good, strong plant. It takes time and effort. But that really good fruit comes from good soil. So we want to be that good soil, right? But what if we're not? What if we're sitting here today and I'm like, I am not in that good, rich, fertile soil? Are we stuck in bad soil? And the answer is no, we're not. Thankfully, we are not stuck in rougher soil. Because remember, back to the beginning, the seed gets scattered and then they plow it up. So we can still plow up our own kind of spiritual soil composition. We can always get back to that good, rich soil that can produce fruit. It might take some time, some effort, but no matter what, you are not stuck. And I think the first thing we need to do is be honest about what soil are we in. Where are we? Think about where we are. And then work from there to get to the good soils. And I'll try to offer here a few examples of just if you feel like you're in one of the first three soils, what can we do to maybe get back to good? These are just my own ideas. They are not exhaustive. Maybe something else will come up for you, and that's great. But I'll try to offer a few of these. So first off, in that path, maybe you're in a place where you do feel like you're rejecting or pushing back completely on God. I would encourage you to maybe, can you be willing to talk about that with me or with someone else, just to be like, I'm really hesitant, and I'm pushing, and I'm frustrated, and I'm just mad, and I have questions. And in that mode, I think it's okay to be there. But have a conversation about that. And I'm not going to dwell on the path too much, but that's kind of the one where I think it's just a willingness to talk about it. The stones being swept away can happen easily with no real depth. And I would say protect yourself, is how I would say that. Protect your soil and your heart. Because if and when temptation comes, you give in easily. Or if when adversity easily just knocks you off your feet and you kind of run to something else and not God, I would encourage you to protect yourself. And I think one way to do that is what we would call accountability partners or groups. These are just other people you have in your life that you trust, that you can talk to about struggles, about temptation, about anything else that's going on in your life. Getting someone else involved. Because then when that temptation comes, or when you know, hey, this is going to get really tough, you go to them and they can help pray with you, help walk you through it. Because you can get through it, right? When these temptations or these things come, this adversity comes, we can. It's not always easy or fun, but we can walk through it. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he'll provide a way out so that you can endure it. So I think having that accountability can help dig that root a little deeper if maybe we need more depth to that soil. Then there's the thorns, things that can take your focus away from God, right? You're growing well, things are good, but there's just so much other stuff in life, right? Let's say consider our priorities. Consider your priorities. Colossians 3:1-2 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Make a priority list of all the things that kind of take your attention in life. And there'd probably be a lot for many of us, and that's okay. But then think about where is God in that? Where is your time with God in that? And this one's hard to keep priorities and focus in check. Making sure, for me, I have a hard time with this one, making sure that I'm focusing on growing my relationship with God before all these other things kind of kick in and take all my attention. I had a teacher in high school that when we were seniors kind of talked about dealing with priorities. And he said, imagine yourself in one of those like glass kind of things that would shoot out the money that you grab all the money in. But imagine instead of money, it's two different types of balls that are all floating up in the air. There's rubber balls and glass balls. And the rubber ones, if you drop those, they bounce back up easily, right? They come back up. So these would be things like, for me, if I miss a workout or I don't get the laundry done when I want, if that falls, it comes back up easily. But then the glass balls, those are things we have to really focus on, because when they fall, they shatter and they're harder to put back together. Not that they can't, but they're a lot harder. This would be like that time with God, that I really want to focus on that, protect it, and take care of it. Now, if I miss one quiet time, does it mean that ball is shattered and I never get it back? No. But we want to protect it in that way and focus on it in that way that we're so focused on it, that it becomes a priority. So that's kind of that idea with the thorns, making sure our priorities and our time with God is where our focus is. And then finally, the good soil. If you're there, that's great. That's a good thing. Good for you. Be there, right? You may be sitting here being like, my soil is rich, it's deep, and I'm ready. What I would encourage you to do is keep watering that soil. Don't let it go through the drought like we're in outside, right? Think about what's been working for you. Why are you in that good place? How can you keep watering it? Talk about that and share that. And then the one caution I would give you is don't force the fruit to come. We can't force the fruit that God is going to bring out in our lives. That's all on God's timing. We just be patient and let him do it. What he wants from us is just to keep that soil rich and ready, and that when it's time, he will pop up that fruit. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, there is a time for everything and a season for everything under the heavens. There's time to plant, time for uproot, time for just to be growth. And then when God's timing comes, when God dictates it, we'll have that fruit. So this week, I would say, let's all try to be honest with what our soil is. Kind of where is our spiritual life right now? And it's okay to be wherever you are, all right? You can't go back and be like, oh, I wish I hadn't dropped to that type of soil. But we can plow it up now, from here today, as we go to think about it and work to get it to that good, rich soil. It'll take some steps and some time. But go ahead and take those steps to start to get back there. So start by being honest, and then just try to move forward. If you're in the good soil, like we just talked about, keep watering it. Keep it up, right? And then have the patience to wait for the fruit. The fruit will come. But we have to stay focused on the soil, because remember, the fruit's up to God. And if we only focus on the fruit, we'll forget about the soil. And the soil is what really matters to God. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for the parable with these soils, God, that you've given us these examples and things to kind of look out for and see in our lives. And God, I really thank you that we're able to continue to plow the soil, God, that we can come back to that good, rich soil, and we can get there no matter what, and that you'll be with us along that time, no matter how much effort and work and time it takes, God, that you're right there with us as we get back to that. So I thank you again for this morning and for this parable, and I pray for all of us that we would be honest about where we are in our lives with you, God, and that we would take the steps forward to grow those relationships and to grow our lives with you, God. In your name.